We're going to be looking this morning at chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. So if you have your Bible open there, we're going to walk through this chapter verse by verse. I'm going to try to explain to the best of my ability what we're reading here in these 13 verses. Now, as we come to chapter 8, it begins where chapter 6 left off. You might remember that chapter 7, if you were here, was like a timeout in a ball game. In chapter 6, Jesus told John about the judgments to come when the seals of the scroll were broken by Jesus. Before Jesus continued telling John what was going to happen next, he wanted to explain a few things to John, and that's what we're going to get into here this morning. So look now at verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So this seventh seal contains the seven trumpet judgments of chapter 6. And the silence that followed indicated the beginning of a further series of judgments which will now come from the throne of God. That silence doesn't sound too bad, does it? However, that silence in heaven is very important to us. It is entirely opposite that the usual sound pattern of heaven prevails. Usually the sound of praise and worship is ringing out in heaven. Also, the result of what Jesus tells the angelic hosts will bring about severe judgments to fall on the earth. The opening of the seventh seal introduces the seven trumpet judgments that God is going to send next onto the earth. And these judgments, as we're going to see this morning, friends, are so terrible. As you can see here as we go through these verses, these things are so terrible that the angels stand in wonder. In the previous verses of Revelation, heaven is seen as a joyful and worshipful place. Choruses of those in heaven are singing, but suddenly now there comes this ominous silence that we're reading about here in verse 1. As horrible as the seal judgments were, which we have covered, these trumpet judgments that we're going to be reading about now are going to be far worse. Do you think those who reject Jesus Christ so easily today would remain silent if they knew the horrible judgment that is coming upon this earth and upon them because they are rejecting Jesus? The problem is, most people don't know that. Why? Well, it's because, first of all, they've never cracked open a Bible, or if they did, seldom ever came to the book we're looking at today. But there's another reason why they don't know what judgment is coming upon them for rejecting Jesus Christ. It's because most of the church people today don't know what's in this book of Revelation. As I've said many times before, there are a lot of preachers in pulpits today who won't even touch the book of Revelation, won't ever preach from that book. And as a result, there are many people sitting in churches all over America today who have no idea what Revelation warns us is coming. Friends, I'm preaching these sermons so that you won't be among those people, so that you'll know what's in this book. Verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now these angels are preparing to carry out God's orders. They are going to blow these seven trumpets to sound an alarm. Trumpets are loud. If anybody was asleep, you're awake now, right? Well, that's the same here. These trumpets are loud. And the reason is simple. It's to catch people's attention. The blast of the trumpets is to alarm the people on the earth. The wrath of God is coming on the earth. And as the seventh seal is broken, the seven angels receive their trumpets to blow. Now remember, friends, all of this is happening after the rapture and during the 7 years of tribulation. The opening of the seven seals that we saw back in chapter 6 take place in the first quarter of the tribulation, or about 21 months in time. The seventh seal begins the seven trumpet judgments, which begin the next 21 months, or if you will, the second half of the 7 years of tribulation, or 3.5 years. The opening of the seventh seal results in each angel being given a trumpet that will be blown in proper sequence, and each one will introduce a future form of judgment, which we're going to be getting into here pretty quickly. Verse 3, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Okay, this angel stands before the heavenly golden altar of incense, which is located before the throne of the Almighty God in heaven. The prayers of all the Christians are mixed with heavenly incense and offered up to God. These prayers contain the cries of martyrs and the suffering saints. They have been praying for relief and for justice. Turn back if you have your Bible open here. Remember what we read back in chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Back in chapter 7 of Revelation, starting in verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All right. The answer to these prayers is the seven trumpets and the seven golden vials or bowl judgments, which we're going to be covering. Now, the Old Testament tells us about the tabernacle in the wilderness, which contained its holy place and its most holy place. And God told Moses to build that tabernacle in the wilderness according to a pattern which resembled a tabernacle that existed in heaven. The altar constructed by Moses for Israel's tabernacle was a copy of this one that we're reading about here in heaven. This vessel that we read about in verse 3 is made of gold, just like everything in the most holy place in the wilderness tabernacle, pardon me, was also made of pure gold or overlaid with pure gold. Now notice here that the prayers of the saints with their offering is placed upon the golden altar at the throne of God. You know, sometimes we feel like our prayers go nowhere, but here we see them at the throne of God. You know, we pray for something and we pray and we just don't see any results. And sometimes we think, well, I don't think my prayers are getting anywhere. But here we see that these prayers are getting through. They're at the throne of God. Now, friends, one thing that's very important here. We are not praying to the angel. We were not praying to Mary. We were praying to Jesus when we prayed. In fact, if you think about it, we do not even pray to Jesus. We pray to our Heavenly Father, right? Don't we start out our prayers, our Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I come to you. The important thing to see here, I believe, is that our prayers go to the throne of God and to the most holy place in heaven. The prayers that we offer, they don't bounce off the ceiling. Not if we're praying with the proper attitude. The Word does say that God does not hear certain prayers. He does not hear the prayers of people who are not saved. But if we are saved, our prayers are heard. Let's move on to verse 4. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. All right. So the burning of this incense creates smoke. And as the smoke from this incense burning rises, it stands here as a symbol of our prayers raising to God in heaven. The angel here was the messenger who carries the prayers. Moving on to verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Ooh, now it's beginning to get interesting, isn't it? The thunder, the lightnings, and the earthquake are the direct result of the fire from the altar in heaven being cast down. The action in heaven starts a responsive action here on earth. As the prayers for the saints for vengeance are taken from the altar, There are things that are going to be starting to happen here on the earth as a result of their prayers. And those prayers, causing the throwing down of the fire from the heavenly altar, causes frightening sounds, thunder and lightning. Is anybody here this morning that doesn't like thunder and lightning when it storms? Anybody don't like that? But then notice it mentions an earthquake. An earthquake on the earth will be the result of this casting down of fire from heaven. The seven angels that we're reading about here are about to sound their trumpets. And this fire taken from the altar and thrown to the earth, friends, is a symbol of the fury of God upon unsaved or people who reject Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. God is angry at this point, friends. God is a God of love, amen? But as we are reading here in Revelation, the Bible also tells us that a God is a God of fury. He has decided here now at this point in time that it is in time, the right time, to punish those on the earth who have consistently rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. We know in the Old Testament that there came a time when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah when they would not repent. And likewise, friends, there is a time coming when the fire of God is going to again descend upon this earth in punishment. All of these thunderings, lightnings, and earthquake are God here dealing with mankind. Friends, this is not symbolic. These are things that are actually going to happen on this earth. When this starts to happen, the wrath of God is being poured out. And as you can easily imagine, when this starts to happen, this is going to cause panic all over the world. Verses 6 and 7. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded. Now here we go again. Look here. And hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Ooh, let's stop right there. This blowing of this seventh, or I should say this first trumpet, produces hail and fire, as the verse tells us, mixed with blood coming down from the sky. And the fire coming down out of heaven, notice here, it burns up 33% of all the trees on the earth and 33% of all the green grass on the earth. Now, friends, I don't care how you look at it, this would result in an ecological disaster. Nothing like this has ever happened before in the history of the world. Just think of what that must be like. A third of all the trees burned to a crisp, and a third of all the green grass burned up. Think about how that would affect mankind to have that many trees and that much grass consumed by fire. You know what? This is something that the old prophet Joel predicted would happen someday. It says in Joel chapter 2, verse 30, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." So even in the Old Testament, we read of prophecies that back up the prophecies we read here in the book of Revelation. Now remember, friends, what we're reading so far is only the first of seven trumpets of judgment to come. Now, some people tell you that God is a loving God, and he never punishes. But I hope now, as we've gone through Revelation so far, and what we're going to see in the future, that you'll find out that's not true. There is punishment that comes from God. And the punishment that comes upon mankind comes as a result of a direct order from God that it be sent upon mankind. Yes, God is a God of love, friends, but never make the mistake of believing that God would never punish mankind or anyone for his or her sins. Those who think God wouldn't do something like this, well, they need to read what it says in Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verse 24 says, "So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation." Now this is telling us of what happened back in the days when God sent Moses to set the Hebrew people free from the bondage in Egypt. And there were plagues that God sent upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt to try to convince them to let the Hebrew children go. And what one of those plagues was like is very similar to what we're reading about here in Revelation. And it's all punishment sent from God. Now the difference is that the one we read about here in Exodus was only upon the nation of Egypt. But the one we're reading about here in Revelation is worldwide. This fire that descends down upon from heaven upon the earth causes a third of all the trees over all of the world to be burned up, and a third of all the green grass upon all the earth to be burned up and consumed. The wrath of God continues to come down on those who failed to accept Jesus Christ. Ezekiel chapter 38, 22 says, "And I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone." So even the prophet Ezekiel made a prophecy of a time when God's judgment would come upon mankind. It's the same God in Ezekiel that we see here in Revelation. The first trumpet is so bad that it kills a third of all the vegetation, the green grass vegetation on the earth. I want you to try for just a moment to imagine what that must be like. Some of you folks have nice green trees in your yard, nice green lawn on your property perhaps. Maybe every now and then you have to, I'll tell you what though, I don't want to be here when this happens, but I hate to mow. And if a third of my green grass got burned up, that'd be a third less time I'd have to spend out there mowing. But some people take a lot of time trying to make a nice green grass. Can you imagine what that'd be like if a third of all the trees around you all of a sudden were singed to a crisp? And all the grass, well, not all of it, a third of it, turned brown. That'd be something to see, wouldn't it? Something I don't want to see. Verse 8. "Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed." Wow, this is getting even worse, isn't it? "When this second trumpet is blown, John sees," as you'll notice here, it says, "something like a great mountain burning with fire." Wow, what could that be? What will that be like? Well, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, this mountain that it speaks of here in verse 8, this mountain, I believe, will be an erupting volcano that will send hot lava, smoke, and ashes up into the atmosphere, and all of that will begin falling down into the sea. And as a result, a third of the sea water will become like blood. Now, if that seems so fantastic, the question is, has something like this ever happened before in the history of mankind? And the answer is yes. For again, we go back to the days of Moses. Exodus chapter 7, beginning at verse 19. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And they shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone.' And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood." So it's happened before. And I say to you, if it happened back then, and we certainly believe it did, amen, because the Bible says it happened, and we believe what the Bible says, amen. So I say to you, if it happened back then, it can certainly happen again. as a result of this trumpet blast here, the Bible says 33%, or a third, if you will, of all the ocean waters turn to blood. And everything living in those affected seas dies. Well, that's not hard to understand. I mean, after all, a lot of these living creatures in the sea depend upon that salt water for sustenance. And a lot of those plants and algae in the sea depend upon elements of the water to sustain them. But if suddenly that water turns into something called blood, you can imagine how that would cause these creatures, the fish in the sea, the whales, the sharks, the octopuses, and all these other creatures in the sea. 33% of the sea turned to blood, and all the creatures in those affected seas, they die. Now, I want you to think about that. Can you imagine the stink that would create if all that water turns to thick, gooey-looking blood, and all of these creatures suddenly end up coming to the surface dead and baking in the sun? Can you imagine how that's going to stink? And it goes even further to say that the ships sailing out on these seas are going to be destroyed. Well, let's kind of back up and see what things are like now at this point. We know that a third of all the vegetation is gone, and the world's level of oxygen has to be affected by this. Isn't the oxygen that we depend upon for life generated through the leaves in the trees? But now a third of the trees on the earth are destroyed. So that's got to affect the oxygen levels here on this earth for mankind to continue to breathe. All the green grain fields, they've been burned up. And with famine already raging in many parts of the world because of other judgments that have come before this, you can understand that there would have to be a scarcity of food everywhere around the world. Friend, this is all going to bring upon the people who are alive on the earth at this time a feeling of doom. Let's move on to verse 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Okay, let's try to understand what this means here in these two verses. The blast from this third trumpet, the Bible says, causes the sending forth of a star called wormwood. And in my opinion, this will be an enormous meteorite that will crash to earth that is, as it says here, burning like a torch. You ever seen a falling star? You know, kind of streaks through the sky with a tail behind it and everything like that. And sometimes meteors do hit the earth here, and when they come crashing down, they do come down with a trail of fire behind them from the friction caused by entering the atmosphere. Well, this is what I believe this is going to be. It's going to be not just a little meteorite, but a huge meteorite that comes crashing to earth. But notice here that it says it doesn't fall on the sea. It falls on a third of the earth's rivers and springs, turning them to bitter and poisonous. That word wormwood, that's what it means. That's a word translated from a Hebrew word which means bitter. Okay? So as a result, the fresh water supplies on the earth, remember the seas have been turned to blood, but that's salt water. On the earth, you and I, we drink fresh water. Doesn't have salt in it. But now, with the seas turned to blood, a third of it, the fresh water supply on the earth is turned to bitterness. And as a result, as it says here in this verse, many men die. Now, I looked this up, and the World Health Organization states that nearly half of the world's people are affected by diseases related to insufficient and contaminated water. So even in today's world that you and I live in, There are a lot of people in these underdeveloped nations. You've seen it on television, where you see these little kids out there getting their water to drink from a muddy stream or a stream that's a terrible situation. Well, that's already a situation where a lot of people today are getting sick and dying because of contaminated water. But here, we're reading about a time in the future when this plague will come upon the earth, spreading even more disease when the fresh drinking water supply that is available is turned bitter. Now, before I go any further here this morning, let me say this. Some Bible scholars claim these terrible things will be the result of a nuclear bomb set off by some nations. I don't believe that by any stretch of the imagination. Friends, as we read these judgments, it is very clear to me these judgments come directly from God. These judgments are caused by God, not by some action of man. These judgments are not caused by anything that any person or nation might choose to do. These judgments we're reading about are happening because God sends them, not anybody else. Verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Well, here it's getting worse. Here the fourth trumpet sounds, and it causes darkness over 33% of the earth. And I can't explain how he does this, but in some way, God will strike the sun, the moon, and the stars. And that will reduce by a third the amount of light and radiated energy reaching the earth from the sun and all the other celestial bodies. I mean, I could speculate, but that's all it would be, speculation. I just know what it says here. The sun, the moon, and the stars, they're all going to be struck by God, and the amount of light coming to the earth will be cut by a third. It could be in the form of the amount of light, the intensity of the light, the brightness of the light, or it could be in the number of hours. I don't know. I just know this. It's going to create a panic. The question that comes up again, has something like this ever happened before? Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." All right. So, if God created light in the first place, and we believe that he did, amen, is it so much difficult for us to believe that he could do something to diminish the light? Not to me. All over the earth there will be 16 hours of darkness and 8 hours of daylight, perhaps, if this striking of these sources of light results in the amount of light in terms of hours. But again, has God ever done anything like that before? Exodus chapter 10, we go back to the days of Moses. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt.' So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days." So if God's done it in the past, couldn't he do it again? You know, Jesus said things like this would happen in end times. In Luke chapter 21, we read in verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken." And again I say, God's done it before, and he certainly can do it again. Let's move on to verse 13. Last verse. "And I looked, and I heard an angel flying from the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. All right. The last three trumpets will be especially severe because now you'll notice the angel cries out, woe, woe, woe. Friends, these judgments will be directed towards the inhabitants of the earth. The unbelievers who are still alive on the earth at this particular time are the ones who are going to suffer these judgments. Christians will be spared the wrath of this time. The problems that we have already heard about are terrible, friends, but they're going to get even worse as we continue to dig into this book of Revelation. At this time, four angels have sounded, and we've covered about what's going to happen as a result of the sounding of those trumpets here this morning in this chapter. But as it says here in this last verse, three more are about to sound. In closing, I would say this to you, friends. We are all given all kinds of warnings in our lives. We've heard that if you eat too much red meat, it'll clog your arteries. Or if you get out too much in the sun and sunbathing, that it'll cause you skin cancer, right? You've all heard those warnings. But you know what? Most people ignore those warnings. Has anybody, as a result of a threat of getting clogged arteries, cut back on the number of McDonald's hamburgers you eat? No. Or the number of steaks that you grill out for this holiday weekend or anything? Have we all decided, I'm not going to eat more red meat because it might clog my arteries? Or how many people do you see still go out there and sunbathe? Even go to these tanning booths. And these girls that wear these skimpy bikinis and run around in the beaches and get all burned up and everything like that. We get the warning, you get out there and you get too much sun, you're going to get skin cancer. Does that stop people from getting out there in the sun? No. But friends, the warnings that we're getting here in Revelation are warnings that could be even more disastrous to a person if you choose to ignore them. The warning that's going to happen to us if we ignore Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. This warning is prevalent throughout the Bible, but especially here in this book of Revelation that we're looking at now in this series of sermons. As we look through this book of Revelation, it's going to describe to us the exact details of what's going to happen to people who continue to reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Friends, Revelation is not just a story that we can read about. These are precise details of things that are getting ready to happen here on this earth. We, I believe, in this day and age, are on the brink of these things breaking loose at any moment. There is one way to prevent this from happening to you. That one way is for you to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Man cannot say that he has not been sufficiently warned of coming judgment. It's right here in our Bibles. God is infinitely patient and compassionate towards those who are deserving His wrath. And this reminds us of God's calling on our lives, friends, to proclaim that salvation is available through Jesus Christ. I'm confident that every one of us here this morning can think of at least one, if not many, people who we have every reason to believe if his or her life ended today, that there would be a very strong possibility his or her soul would go to hell because they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, that would be a bad deal if they died in their sin because their soul would go to hell. And there's no getting out of hell. Amen? But Revelation is telling us there's a time coming when the rapture will happen and the Lord will take His people who are the born-again Christians out of this world to save us from the days of wrath. And then these 7 years of horrible things are going to start to fall upon those who are left behind. And I believe the rapture could happen at any time, and these 7 years of horrible events could be just around the corner. Who do you know who probably would be left behind when these terrible things begin to happen. They can avoid it if they'll accept Jesus Christ as their Savior.